Take your Bible and find Revelation chapter number 16. Revelation chapter number 16. Revelation chapter 16. The sermon's title this morning is three words. False, false, false. False, false, false. Young people over here, you'll want to be real quiet now. Stand just like everybody else. Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter number 16. Look at verse number 13. Revelation 16:13 it says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." Now, turn over a few pages to Revelation chapter 19, verse number 20. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 20. That's 19:20. It says this, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast." Now, I want you to turn over another page maybe. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10. The Bible says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Three times, we see this prophet called a false prophet. Now, I'm going to pray, and then we'll get started. Father, bless us today. For those that are not used to sitting in church, I pray that you'll give them a quick education so that they'll be attentive, that they'll not interrupt the rest of the service. For those of us that have been in church often, I pray, God, that we would take seriously the opportunity that sets before us. We get to hear from the God of the universe. We get to learn from the only book that God ever wrote. So, Father, reach down from heaven and do something supernatural in our midst. Minimize the interruptions. Maximize our understanding and our attention. And, Father, I pray that Jesus would be glorified and that we would all be challenged today in regard to this subject of the falsities in life. Bless us now with thy presence, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have here, and you may be seated, I have here in front of me a $1 million bill. I borrowed this off of Jason Conaway. He's a printer by trade. You say, "Well, Pastor, that can't be real." You're right. If I had a $50 bill in my wallet, it wouldn't be a real one. But that's a fake bill. It's a fake bill. And, you know, it doesn't do me any good, doesn't do anybody else any good, because it's fake. It's fake. And, you know, if somebody had one of these and they were convinced it was real, it could really hurt them bad, you know. They could be borrowing against it and so many different things. They could have a fake security in what that thing can do for them or what it will do for them. But it's a fake. Hey, Mike, do me a favor. Take this back to Kevin. Kevin works with Dave Steed. He's probably underpaid. Kevin, wave at him and make sure you get your $1 million bill. Kevin, you can take your wife out for lunch now. I got to looking in the Bible and I noticed that there's this story, of course, that we hear about in the end time called about the false prophet. But the word false is in the Bible a lot. In Exodus 20:16, it talks about false witnesses. In Exodus 23, verse number 1, it talks about a false report. In Exodus 23, verse number 7, it talks about false matters. In Psalm 119, verse 104, it talks about the false way. In Psalm 120, verse number 3, it talks about a false tongue. In Proverbs 11:1, it talks about a false balance. In Proverbs 17:4, it talks about false lips. In Jeremiah 14, verse number 14, it talks about a false vision. In Jeremiah 23:32, it talks about false dreams. In Luke 19:8, it talks about false accusations. In Galatians 2, verse number 4, it mentions false brethren. But in the three scriptures that we started with today, Revelation 16:13, Revelation 19:20, and Revelation 20, verse number 10, it mentions a false prophet. This false prophet is one that will come on the scene in the end times. And here's the thing. People think that he's real. Boys, look, knock it off. Pay attention up here. See, if I have to take time to pay attention to you, everybody else will not pay attention to me. So just sit still. I love you. I'm your friend. But I want you to sit real still and look right this way. Okay? This man named the false prophet, this being called the false prophet, he comes on the scene in the end, and people think he's real. You know, that $1 million bill, if I gave that to someone and they were really convinced it was real, it would be harmful and it could be misleading and it could cause a lot of chaos. In the end, there's a false prophet that will come in or on the scene, and he's going to be very convincing and he's going to be very powerful. But here's the bad thing. People are going to sincerely follow that false prophet. I mean, they're not going to look at this false prophet and say, you know, that's a false prophet. They're going to look at the false prophet and they're going to say, wow, I like that. Now, boy, if I handed someone a $1 million bill and they thought it was real, they'd say, I like that. I want that. Well, wouldn't you want all your friends to have a $1 million bill too? Well, absolutely, I want all my friends to have a $1 million bill too. See, when the false prophet comes on the scene, not only will people be attracted, but they will want their friends and their family to be attracted too. Very winsome. But you need to know, he's false. He's a false prophet. He's a fake. He's a counterfeit. I traveled the nation for many, many years, flown hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles. And when I go to the airport, they will ask to see my identification. I have a passport. Most of the time I don't use my passport here in the United States. If I'm flying out of the country to go preach somewhere, I use my passport. But here in the United States of America, I'll use my driver's license. And when I hand the security man from the airport, when I hand him my driver's license, there's a little desk that he has set up, and I can't go beyond a certain part of the airport until they've checked my ID to make sure that it's a real ID. They grab my ID, and now they have a little light, and they shine that light on the ID, and I don't know exactly what kind of a light. I'll use a term. It's like a black light. It's a certain kind of a light that they shine on the ID to make sure it's a real ID. Then he also has many times that they pull out it's almost like a little magnifying glass. And he'll shine that light on my ID, and he'll look through that glass to make sure that I am who I say I am by use of that identification. Now, why? Well, he wants to know if I'm the real deal. Am I really Jeff Owens, or do I have a false ID? Do I have a fake ID? Because, see, if I've got a fake ID, if I've got a false identity, if I'm not really the real deal and I get on that airplane, I could create havoc. And they know that. So I want to make sure I'm the real deal. Now, let me explain the false prophet. When he comes on the scene, if you're around, I'd check his ID, but you're going to find out it's a false ID. It's a fake ID. He's not a real prophet. He's not the real deal. And he's going to hurt a lot of people. Now, that's futuristic. We don't face that today. Now, I don't know when we'll face it. We could face it soon. And maybe it'll be many, many years. I don't know. I'm not trying to predict that. But I would tell you this. My job as a pastor is to warn you, the congregation, about the false things in life that could hurt you. It's part of what I'm supposed to do. I'm to let you know there are falsities out there. Because you understand the human race, this false prophet is going to come on the scene in the end time, and multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of people are going to say, that's the real deal. They're going to follow. To be honest, they're going to be gullible. They're going to get sucked in to that, and it's false. Now, as a pastor, it's my job to make sure that you, as a human being, like all of us, are not gullible and that you do not get sucked in to the falsities, even in this life. You say, Pastor, I like that stuff about the talking about the end time. Well, we may or may not experience that sometime soon, but I'm going to tell you this. There are falsities that you need to be worried about today, not just futuristic in the false prophet. My sermon's simple. It's called false. 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 Man, it's all about the falsities that are aware, that are here today, and I want you to be aware of them. For instance, did you know there is a false gospel? A false gospel. 2 Corinthians 11:4 says this, "For if he that cometh preach another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Here, it talks about another gospel. You say, Brother Owens, there's only one gospel. Well, there's only one true gospel. But here, Paul said there is another gospel. And so you all understand, there is the right gospel, and then there is the wrong gospels. Anything other than the right one is a false gospel. You say, what is the gospel? The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's the way, that's how we get salvation. And I got to tell you all, folks, there are people out there that teach wrong about salvation. Salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible makes it very clear, when you get saved, it was a gift from God. You didn't work to get saved. And I got to tell you, there are people out there everywhere that talk about working their way to heaven. Now, I am for working. And I think saved Christian people ought to work. But you don't work your way to heaven. It's a gift of God. And folks, be careful. There is a false gospel. And it is where they teach that salvation comes by your effort instead of the effort of God. There are people that will tell you, and I'll mention this in a little while, they'll say, you need to give your money to the church to get to heaven. That is a lie. That is not what the Bible teaches. That is a false gospel. Give your money to the church and you can go to heaven. Hey, I wish I could believe that. We'd be passing the plates right now. But you can't buy your way to heaven. You say, I went down to the church and helped mow the grass so I could go to heaven. I'm glad you come to the church and mow the grass, but that will not get you to heaven. It's not by your works you'll get to heaven. It's a gift of God through Jesus Christ. He died for us, was buried for us, and resurrected for us. That's what saves us, and it's a gift that we receive. It's by grace through faith, and no other way. If somebody says, well, I believe that salvation is 5% God and 95% man. That's not true. You say, well, I believe salvation is 95% God and 5% man. That's not true. Salvation comes 100% through the finished work of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and you can't save yourself. Nobody ever has, and nobody ever will. It's called a false gospel. Now, folks, you need to be careful getting around the false gospel. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry on the radio and on the television that call themselves Christians are not. And there are people that promote false gospel all the time. Not only that, there are false Christs. False Christs. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4 says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Here it talks about another Jesus. I mean, this is promoting another Savior. Jesus is the Son of God. And the God we're talking about is Jehovah God. And you hear me say this from time to time, but I like saying it. Just yesterday, we were driving up north, and I seen it again. An 18-wheeler, and he was pulling his rig up the road, and on the side of his trailer, it said, "Go to the church of your choice." Phooey on that. You're not to go to the church of your choice. You're going to the church of God's choice. You don't pick a church that fits you. You pick a church that fits God. You say, but that church isn't a lot like me. Well, maybe you need to be changed. We don't come to church to show off what we are. We come to church to show off what Jesus is, and that's what we're supposed to become. We're to be changing. Church is to make us better, not so we get to go and shine. Jesus will do all the shining that needs to be done. But there are false Christs. There is one Savior. It's Jesus Christ. We're talking about Jehovah God. He was born of a virgin. He lived 33 and a half sinless years. He died, was buried, and resurrected, and it wasn't Muhammad. It was Jehovah God. He's the only Savior. Every other religion and every other so-called Savior will take you straight
to hell. You say, you're pretty narrow-minded. I know, my dad's that way. Say, who's your dad? I'm talking about my Heavenly Father. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Allah is not God. And listen, you know, it's being promoted everywhere. It's being promoted everywhere. And listen, there are false gospels, and there are false Christs. There are false baptisms. False baptisms. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, says this, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Here's what happened. Here's someone that said to Philip, he said, Philip, here's some water, baptize me. And Philip said, I can't baptize you unless you're born again. Because you get baptized after you've been born again. Do you know that if somebody gets baptized before they're born again, that's false baptism? You say, it's cute. I'm glad it's cute, but it's a cute falsity. Behind this curtain, we've got a baptistry, and there's water in it. And I'm a Baptist. But I'm a Baptist because I just happen to believe that you get saved, and after your salvation, you follow the Lord and believers' baptism, and it pictures the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But baptism won't get you to heaven. Baptism has never gotten anybody to heaven, and there are all sorts of false baptism. If a baptism came before salvation, it wasn't baptism at all. It was a bath. It was a shower. That's all. There are false baptisms. There are counterfeit baptisms. Baptism comes after salvation. Then baptism is where you go under the water. That's what the word immersion means. Jesus got baptized under the water. That's how it's supposed to be. It's after salvation, under the water. It is not something that saves you. It is a step of obedience after you're saved. If you're here today and you say, I got saved last week, but I got baptized when I was a child. You got wet when you were a child. You got saved last week. You need to get baptized this week. And baptism does not save you. You say, well, what about sprinkling? Sprinkling's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. You come to this church, sit on the front row while I preach, I'll sprinkle all service on you. I spit while I preach. Any preacher that don't spit while he's preaching is not really preaching. I pass out towels for the front row. Sprinkling's not in the Bible. Baptism before salvation is not in the Bible. Hey, and one of the cutest things in the world, I've seen it on television where they baptize babies. Do you understand? Babies aren't saved, so babies don't need to get baptized until babies get saved. You say, oh, wow, where'd you get that? Some book I read. Oh, yeah, it's a Bible. False. Everybody's got their ideas about what religion ought to be. The idea that you ought to get is God's idea about what religion ought to be. And the Bible makes it very clear. There are false gospels. The Bible says there are false Christs. There are false baptisms. Then, there are false preachers. False preachers. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 5, it says, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. In 1 Timothy 2 Timothy and Titus, they're called the pastoral epistles. You say, what's an epistle? Epistle is the wife of an apostle. Not enough of you are laughing, so I need to say that's not true. That was a false statement. An epistle is a letter written, and those three books of the Bible were letters, and they were written predominantly to give guidance to the pastor as he guides the New Testament church. Now, they're for all of us, but there's a ton of instruction in there. He said, you make full proof of your ministry. Listen, there are false preachers. Hey, I think a false preacher is a Bible corrector instead of a Bible protector. I threw a fit last week about the purity and the importance of the purity of the Bible. I'm not here to try to correct the Bible. I'm here to protect it. I'm here to defend it. I'm to be a defender of the faith. I'm to let you know the Bible is God's Word. The Bible is true. You say, well, Pastor, that's not how I see it. Well, then you see it wrong, and everybody has the right to be wrong if they want to be. But God's always right, and the Bible's always true, and the Bible's pure, and the Word of God is inspired, is preserved, it's the book that God gave us. And he said, now you let that determine what is right and what is wrong. So, preacher, let me tell you how I feel about it. You can tell me how you feel about it all you want. I want to know what God thinks about it. Listen to this. The Bible tells us that there are false preachers. And Jeremiah, don't talk over here, but look up this way. Jeremiah chapter 36, verse number 23, it says, and it came to pass that when Jehoiada had read three of the four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire. This man by the name of Jehoiada had found the Bible. He read some of it. He didn't like part of what he read. He took his pocket knife out. He cut the verses out that he didn't like and he threw it in the fire. He said, that's that. You know how many preachers won't tell you what's in the Bible? Because they don't like that part. They don't like that part. Folks, all the Bible's important. From the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, every jot and every tittle, you say, what's that mean? Every crossing of a T, every dotting of the I, every word in the Bible is important. It's important to God. And folks, we ought to see it that way. Preachers spend their time today apologizing for the Bible. I don't know if any of you have ever heard anything about Bible college education. They've got classes called apologetics. Look, if God said it, no apology necessary. No apology necessary. Preachers are to preach the Word of God. Look, and the further and further away our nation gets from the real religion, and the further and further away our nation gets from God, the more trouble preachers are going to get into when they tell the truth. They say, Brother Owens, you ought to be more tolerant of the other types of gospels. Listen, it's my job to tell you, you can get to heaven one way, that's through Jesus Christ, and if you try any other way, you will die and go to hell. And you say, well, there's another thing, this thing called hell. It's in the Bible. I can't cut it out. Now, that's how some people look for churches, by the way. Find somebody that agrees with them. I'll never forget. I will never forget going to the old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist church I went to when I was a kid. I was 15, going on 16. I'd just gotten saved, and I went to this church. And the pastor, I mean, I'd never seen somebody with so much energy in my life. And I thought somehow, I heard him preach his first sermon, and I'm walking out thinking, he has spoken to my mother. I mean, he just called the roll. Everything that's wrong with me, he just mentioned it in that one sermon. I'm ready to go home and tell my mom, don't be talking to the preacher out there at that church again. I went to church and he's speaking to me and nobody else. Now you can go in and out of churches and you don't even feel like you've been to church. You don't preach. You say, well, I want to feel good. You'll feel better if you get the sin out of your life. And your church wasn't invented for you to feel better. Now, I'm glad if you feel better because you have a church service, but I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes you ought to leave church feeling bad. Why? Because you've been doing bad things. And bad displeases God. You're not supposed to feel good about being backslidden. You're not supposed to feel good about being away from God. You're not supposed to feel good about the fact that you never go to church and you never do right and that you cuss and you make a mess of your life. You're not to feel good about that. You feel bad about that, you say. And it's not me. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I like you. Mike, I like you. God bless you, Mike. I like you. No, I didn't write the book. I'm just a representative of the book. But a preacher's to get up and preach. And it's not all about how we feel. It's about what God said. And it ought to affect us. I don't think everybody that calls themselves preacher are God called. And I don't think all the authors down at the so-called Christian bookstore are safe authors to be reading. So he said he was a preacher. Well, boy, you're gullible. There are all sorts of people out there that say they're real estate agents. They would like to sell you a couple bridges in our area. They'll sell you all sorts of stuff. Not only that, the Bible says there are falsities, false prophet, and the people willingly followed that false prophet in the end time. There's the false gospels and false Christs, false baptisms and false preachers. And the Bible says there are false doctrines. False doctrines. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." You say, well, Pastor, a doctrine of a devil, I'd pick up on that immediately. Because you thought we were talking about devils like bewitched. You young people are saying, what's bewitched? How many of you know what bewitched is? Okay, God bless you. Thanks for pulling me out. So you're talking about the doctrine of devils and goat's heads and casting spells. No, it's not talking about that here. It's talking about doctrines that are being presented as doctrines from God that are actually from the devil. And they're out there. You take, for instance, works salvation is a doctrine of the devil. When somebody says you have a part in your salvation and you work your way to heaven, or you attempt to work your way to heaven, that is a doctrine of the devil. You know, there are all sorts of false doctrines out there. There is a we when we go out and tell people about Jesus Christ, God calls it soul winning. It's called evangelism in the Bible. Someone came out with a thing that they were teaching all over our country years ago. It was called lifestyle evangelism. You say, what was that? It's where you live right, and you just walk through the community living right, and then people come up to you and inquire about what's different about you, and then you tell them about salvation because they notice how different you are. They said your lifestyle should be as such that people will inquire. And they said, you don't have to go tell people about Jesus anymore. They'll just come ask. Now, you know, I'd like to know how many of you are living so well that somebody came up to you at any time in your life and said, goodness, there's something so good, so different about you. What must I do to be saved? It doesn't happen that way. God said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my Father's house might be full. God said in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. God said, go get them. We call it confrontational evangelism. Now, don't get it wrong. That word confrontation doesn't mean that you carry a baseball bat with you and you're out trying to fight with everybody over this thing. No, it means you're willing to confront someone about their need of salvation. You're willing to say, hey, if you died today, would you go to heaven? I want to present the gospel to you. But folks, now, I believe our lifestyle ought to be right because it has a touch of evangelistic draw to it. But there is no such thing as lifestyle evangelism, which takes the place of confrontational evangelism. That's presenting the gospel. So if you think you're living right at work and you're witnessing to people, you might be a testimony, but you need to get off of your rocking chair of do-nothing and tell them about Jesus Christ. They could admire you all the way to hell. They could admire you all the way to hell. And so there are different doctrines that men develop. You know what? There's this doctrine that people come out with, and they're so confused about it. There's a practice that the Bible teaches, and it is sanctification or separation. God told us to come out of the world, not be like the world. We're to be different than the world. So here's what happens. In the modern day of religion, if you're a pastor that preaches that there are certain things that are sinful, you're not to do it. If you're a pastor that preaches against it, said it's wrong, don't do that. Don't act that way. Don't go to that place. Don't listen to that music. Don't behave that way. When you tell people to separate from the world, there's a part of the religious world out there that says, you're a legalist. They don't even know what the word means. legalism is when you believe you must keep the law to be saved. We don't believe that. I already told you what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you get saved, it's a free gift. You don't work your way to heaven. You don't give your money to the church to go to heaven. You don't give up your drinking to go to heaven. You don't do those things. You receive the free gift of salvation. You ask God to forgive you of your sin, but you don't work your way there, either by putting something into your life or by taking something out of your life. You don't work your way to heaven. A legalist is somebody that believes you keep the laws of the Bible to be saved. We don't believe that at all. Oh, but because I preach, you need to knock off your cussing and your drinking and your chewing, and you need to stop running around and committing adultery and committing fornication. They say, you're a legalist. You're a legalist. No, not at all. I believe in separation. There's somebody that's taken that word legalism, totally twisted it into a supposed doctrine. It's a false doctrine. It is a false doctrine. I don't think you keep the law to be saved, but I will tell you this. If you are saved, you ought to be trying to keep the laws of God. You ought to live right, smell right, dress right, act right. You ought to behave right. You ought to talk right. You ought to do that. Now, you don't, hey, and again, the Bible says you don't lose your salvation. But you sure can lose blessing. So, there are counterfeit doctrines. And I could talk for the next 20 minutes and give you doctrine after doctrine after doctrine that is, it's a false doctrine. It's a lie doctrine. It's a fake, like the $1 million bill I gave away a minute ago. Not only that, there are false spirits. False spirits. 2 Corinthians 11:4 says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit." Now, there is the Holy Spirit, and now there seems as if there is another Spirit. Folks, let me make sure you understand something. The Spirit of God always agrees with the Word of God. Always. Boy, is this an area where people really like to abuse the Spirit of God. There are people that will say, oh, God led me. Let me tell you something. Anytime you tell me that God led you, but he led you contrary to the Scripture, you're a liar. God doesn't lead contrary to the Scripture. But boy, people like to use that. We just like that emotional, oh, God led me. I was walking this way, and then God led me. And then I came over here. And then God led me. God led me to that liberal church. God didn't lead you to a liberal church. God would have led you to a church that preaches the old-time gospel that does not apologize for the purity of the Word of God. God don't lead us contrary to the Word of God. Oh, people misuse the thing of the Spirit of God. Listen, the Holy Spirit was given to convict. The Holy Spirit was given to comfort. But to be very honest, if you'll take a good long look at it, the Holy Spirit was given to help people as they were witnesses so that somebody would be speaking to the lost person on the inside while the soul winner is preaching to the lost person on the outside so that there would be a unity and a unison so you could get somebody born again. The Holy Spirit does not create an unpredictable emotional turmoil about the church. God's not the author of confusion. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I pray and ask the Holy Spirit every day of my life to use me and to guide me and to direct me. But I know this, He always directs me according to the Word of God. He never sends me anywhere that is contrary to the Word of God. He never tells me to do something that would be against the Word of God. And the truth is, everybody, you know, you get to these church services today, and they're trying so hard to please everybody, and they want the church service to acclimate to the millennials. We're not trying to acclimate to the millennials. We're acclimating to the Holy God of the universe. But we don't change the church to match the society. We change the society to match the church. That's what the New Testament church is for. Everybody's all concerned. What about this new generation? They can have the same gospel. They can have the same Jesus. They can have the same baptism. We're not going to change the church to please the new generation. You say, well, that's not what I am. Then you're in the wrong place. Because the Bible's to change you, not you it. And so, they're counterfeit. They're counterfeit spirits. Boy, and you know what they're trying to do today? The reason why they've got all the contemporary and, hey, they're having dance on the church platform to take the place of the preaching. And they've got all sorts of drama and everything. Everything they can think of. But no good old-fashioned spit in your eye, knock down, drag out preaching. They're trying to create a spirit. A spirit. Let's create the spirit. Let's not have bright lights. Let's turn the lights down low, like we're going to a movie theater. And the only problem is, this ain't a movie theater. You say, ain't's not a good word. I know, but ain't's good for preaching. This is not a movie theater. This is an old-time, independent, fundamental Baptist church. And this isn't drama. This is preaching. The word drama is not in the Bible. You say, well, boy, you make it real clear where you stand. You ain't heard anything yet. The old-time religion. But what are they doing? I can't tell you how many churches out there that are trying to create a spirit. They're trying to create this spirit that's attractive to the millennials. Trying to create a spirit that's attractive to the world. I wonder how long, Brother Andrews, I've had people tell me, if you just change your preaching, you might be able to get some people in your church. You could not find a parking spot at our church today. Because I believe there's still people that are hungry for what God said and not for a church that is catering to the new generation. Hey, listen, you know there are counterfeit Bibles. I paid tribute to it last week and I'm running out of time, so get the DVD or the CD of last week. The King James Bible is not one of many. It's one of a kind. Hey, there are false titles that man set up. False titles. Revelation chapter 17, verse 3 says, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon scarlet-colored beasts full of names of blasphemy." Full of names of blasphemy. Psalm 111, verse number 9 says, "He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name." You know, the title that one would use for me, I'm the pastor. Most people would call me Brother Owens, but I'm the pastor of the New Testament church. I'm not your father. But there are all sorts of titles that get set up, and they're false titles. We know that Catholicism sets a man up. They call him father. He dresses like a mother, but they call him father. And they turn that into something that it is not. That's a falsity. That's a falsity. That's false. You want to exalt a title, exalt the title of Jesus Christ. He is the one that is to be honored. He is the one that is to be glorified. He is the one that's to be lifted up. I could go on. I won't. The Bible makes it clear. There are false gospels, false Christs, false baptisms, false preachers, false doctrines, false spirits, false Bibles, false titles. And I read off a list of a dozen other things that the Bible mentions are falsity. But here's the dangerous thing for all of us, folks. It's this. When the false prophet comes on the scene, all sorts of people will be deceived. They will be gullible and sucked into it. Now, you just need to be careful today that you don't get sucked into the falsities that are available now. Available now. I think this. I think that our society has set up a false morality. A false morality. What constitutes a husband and wife? What constitutes purity among men and women? Our society is totally perverted about that. The Bible is still true. The falsities. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me tell you the truth. There's one way to heaven, and that's through that Jesus. If you've never been saved, you need to get saved. And I don't say this to hurt you. I don't say this to scare you. If you don't get saved, you will go to hell. And I would like to say you have my word on it, but you don't need my word on it. You have God's word on it. It's in the Bible, and the Bible's true. You say, well, somebody told me, if anybody told you anything other than Jesus Christ is a Savior and that salvation is a gift, somebody told you a falsity. The truth is, salvation is through Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.
My first question is simple. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? If you're here today and you say, I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved, and I need to be saved. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Who here would say, Pastor, I am saved. I know it. I'll not lie to you. I'll not lie in church. I'm saved. If I died today, I know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Let God see your hand. Would you raise your hand? Just let God see it. Say, I'm saved. I'm born again. I know I am. You may put your hands down. Hey, Christian, let's be careful not to be spiritually gullible. Spiritually gullible. There are falsities, and God warns us to stay away from those falsities. Who here would say, Pastor, today I've been challenged. I needed something I just heard. I need that. I need to be warned. There's some things out there, and I sincerely thought maybe they were right. But I needed what I heard today. And you'll raise your hand and say, I needed something that I heard today. That helps me. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? I needed it. It helps me. God bless you. Now, you may put your hands down. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to have a time of altar call. In a moment, I will signal the pianist and she'll begin to play. After she begins to play, we'll stand. After we stand, if you need to come and pray for a moment, you come, you get on your knees, and you say, Lord, help me. Maybe you get a little sucked into something that's a falsity. Guard yourself. Guard yourself. Guard the purity of your family and guard the purity of your spiritual thinking. I don't know, some books, some people get to reading so many just terrible, terrible books full of bad doctrine. Oh, you want the purity in your Christian life. If you need the altar, you come. If you need to be saved, maybe you didn't raise your hand. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. You just come to the altar and just get my attention. I'll watch. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Somebody just made, hey, maybe you've got a loved one that's got themselves in some falsities in life. Maybe you need to pray for them, but the altar will be open. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Christian, if you need a moment at the altar, you come. If you need a moment at the altar, you come and ask the Lord to help you. Watch out for the falsities. The Bible tells us there's false witness and false report and false matters and false tongue and false balance and false lips and false vision and false dreams, false accusations and false brethren, false gospel and false Christs, false baptisms and false preachers and false doctrines and false spirits and false Bibles and false titles. And it goes on and on. And just like at the airport, when that security person looks at my ID, they use a light, they use a magnifying glass, and they take a look at it. And the whole object is to keep people safe. I preach a sermon like this to keep us safe. It's my responsibility. And by the way, my pleasure. I want to keep us safe. Hey, I'm in the same boat as you. I've got to keep myself safe. I've got to be careful what I read, what I listen to, what I get around, what I believe, what I follow. If you need the Bible, you come. If you need the altar, you come. The people in the last days will follow this prophet with a smile on their face, but they will be gullible and sucked in to the biggest mess history has ever seen. They'll be sincere. See, what makes the difference? What the Word of God says. What God says about it. This is the last time through the song. And thank you, Sarah.